I'm Bob Dotson. I'm a national correspondent for the NBC Today Show in New York City, and also the author of a book called The American Story, A Lifetime Search for Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Things. Well, we keep our eyes on the broken tires. We have to fix that all the time. But I think that the seemingly ordinary people in the world who tend to be able to live peacefully with their neighbors who are not exactly like them are really where we should put our investigative services, because they figured it out. It's not a big deal. They don't tweet. They don't write books. They don't run for prime minister. But I found here in this country, where you have 198 different nationalities and 37 different Native American tribes all living together, mostly in peace, what they've done is they have figured out that when they get here as immigrants, they notice other neighbors still living in peace, and they have a pioneer spirit, which accepts the fact that you need a teamwork in order to survive, and you don't care who's on the team. And in fact, you can embrace those differences, because if you're looking for a common sense solution to any problem, chances are people from different backgrounds from around the world will approach a problem differently and therefore solve it more quickly, because it's not all the same thing over and over again. If you bump into a wall, all of us from one location don't have another idea, but somebody else comes in and goes, well, have you considered this? It's kind of like if you go to an elementary school and you ask a bunch of six-year-olds, and they come up with some answers that you never expected, because they're looking at it from a totally different perspective. Well, that's what happened in the United States. You had a combination of people who came here and decided, well, maybe we ought to try to live in peace, and there is a formula for that, because we see other people doing it. And partially it's because you learn to embrace diversity, you learn to work as a team, and most important thing is you don't dwell on loss. I mean, you listen to everyone around the world and they say, well, I used to have a home, but then these other guys burned it. Or I used to have a brother and then they shot it. And then it goes from generation to generation to generation. By the time people came to the United States, they thought, I still think all that's terrible. But this person living next to me on Blossom Drive didn't directly involve himself in that. So maybe if we can figure out a way to both attack opportunities, that we will come out with a better life. And that's what's happened mostly in America, that people who come with this pioneer spirit, who try to end nightmares rather and find dreams, as opposed to talking about the losses over and over again, that's a start. So I don't know how that equates to the rest of the world, but I think if you can find a way to have people start thinking about how they're the same as opposed to dwelling on their differences, that's the first step. Then move you on down the line. But you see, I think it's because of the nature of journalism itself. We always look at the flat tires, and rightfully so. I mean, we have to be careful. But on the other hand, if you don't ask the other side of that equation, which is, okay, there may be one flat tire, but there's three that's still rolling, maybe we ought to inspect the three that are rolling and find out what lessons we can learn. So here on Coney Island Boulevard, you know, as you go by these Dunkin' Donuts, which is owned by a Muslim and operated by a Jewish rabbi, you have a perfect little microcosm of that. How did these two people get together in the same business? Well, they probably, you know, started on a sports team together. Maybe their kids went to school together because they weren't rich enough to have private schools and go gate themselves, so they got into a public school. And then they figured, well, you know, I already know Johnny and so-and-so. And pretty soon you start seeing each other as human beings, and that's the first step. And then you start to see that working together with your strengths as opposed to worrying about your differences, you might have some opportunities. Well, these people saw an opportunity. They probably saved up some money. They bought a Dunkin' Donuts, and off they go to the races. And their customers the same way. I mean, mostly around this particular neighborhood are Pakistanis, immigrants, and Indians, and Russians and Ukrainians. Well, back home, they got problems. Not on Coney Island Boulevard. I mean, they do have problems. I'm not trying to paint this as a, you know, goody two-shoes. The world is still dark. But that just makes the light that much brighter. Well, we have an example here in this country. I mean, you know, we had to fight a civil war over the fact that people maybe shouldn't be slaves. And then it went on another 100 years or so, especially in the South, where, you know, you couldn't live next door to each other. Now, you could raise each other's babies, and you could, you know, you got to know them probably better, each other, better than you did some people in your family, but no, different colors, so that. So the question is, how did that work out? I mean, how did they finally bring people to the table? And we have an African-American president. I mean, who would have thought that, you know, 50 years ago? It just wouldn't happen. But I think you have to make a distinction between what you can do as a government and what ordinary people can do. You know, you can't somehow wave a magic wand and have the government do what needs to be done, because they all have, these individuals in government have their own vested interests, which may not be in the interests of their country. On the other hand, if it's just you and Harry down the street, who both came from a different country and maybe have different religions and stuff like that, if you finally figure out that maybe we have more in common than we have differences, then you learn to get along. You don't have to love them, but you can get along. Once you get along, then the opportunities start to pile up, because, you know, you're not fighting all the time. You're not burning down each other's houses, you know, and doing honor killings or whatever. You know, the average person makes this leap because you learn that it's you people, it's the other people. But once you get out of that ignorant stage where you're not talking about people or religion, but you're talking about Harry or Isib or whoever, and you say, well, yeah, but on an individual basis, it isn't you people at all. I mean, he wants to have a roof over his house. He wants his kids to be safe. Me too. And we've got an opportunity to buy a taxi company, and we'll work, you know, 20 hours a day as taxi cab drivers just to see if we can get started, and then maybe our kids will go to college. It's like the story of my dad, you know, who never went to college, and now all of his kids went to college. We call that the American dream, but it's really the world's dream, that your kids will do as better than you did, and they'll have a good life. And how do you do that? You don't do that by fighting each other all the time. Right. You figure out a way to go on down the road. Yeah, I'm more hopeful than I was when I was younger, and you'd think it'd be just the opposite, because the older you get, you know, it's like, oh, I'll tell you, 5 years ago it was so much better than it is today. You know, it just seems to be natural. But I think the advent of social media, where information isn't necessarily kept in someone's pocket who is in power. Once you know a lot of things about what's going on, as opposed to just what people want you to know, then you can make informed decisions as an individual on what's important, what's not important, what's real and not real. Especially nowadays, when more and more media outlets, in order to make money, become opinionated and one-sided. Because they know a certain group of people who think exactly like that will tune in every day, so because it's reinforcing their worldview. But on the other hand, if you want to find some information to make a rational decision about, is it going to be safe or not safe, should I do this or should I do that, then I think social media plays a big part, because then we all become storytellers, and we all can add information which you could then test to see if it's true or not.
Our job is not to be friends with the government, but to be a watchdog. Pure and simple. But having said that, it's very difficult, because look at the relationships that people have. Jobs are made and lost by, you know, buddying up with government agencies and what have you. But I'm mostly hopeful that this will be this age of social media, where everyone can be a citizen journalist. Everyone can point out what they see and do. That kind of breaks up that monopoly, that tension, you know. You spend too much time with people in Congress, for instance, you start to do stories because, you know, you're relating to the people you're covering. But still, there's somebody out in Topeka, Kansas, you know, who has a piece of information that's very important, and even though you, maybe as a journalist you fall down because you side with one side of government or another, especially, you know, there was a golden age of journalism, especially television journalism, from about 1927 till about 10, 15 years ago, where, especially in this country, you had to be in the middle. You had to report all sides. Otherwise, people wouldn't buy your soap. But in the last 10, 15 years, we've gone back to the way it was prior to our Revolutionary War here in the United States, where every journalistic cable outlet found that they could make money if they take sides. If they become mostly opinion. And that's the hardest nut to crack, because you look at the media and you say, okay, they're always going to answer it exactly this way, and then these guys are always going to answer it that way. And as a watcher, a consumer of information, who's right? Especially if they're shuffling the deck and not telling you the whole story. That's why I think it was so important for people to do what I've been doing for the last lifetime, and that is to go out, especially now with social media, it's easier to find people with voices that aren't affiliated necessarily, and come up with information that people can use. But you have to do that by being investigative in places that you wouldn't normally go to. And that's about the best we can hope for, because the rest of it is all human nature. And like corruption in government, you can get people in journalism get too close to it too, and how do you blow that up? Well, you blow it up, I think, with social media. It's very difficult for somebody to say this is the way it absolutely is, state media, if everybody else knows that because of social media that there are other ideas and other information out there. So we can all hope, and that's the best we can hope for.